You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today, we do not know what they want. They do not know themselves what they really want.
I've been wondering what that special place in hell looks like for those who promoted Brexit without even a sketch of a plan how to carry it.
Brexit means Brexit.
To Wire.
Sinn Féin, a left-wing Republican party in the Republic of Ireland, has declared victory in the general election over the weekend, breaking a duopoly that's almost a century old by two major centre-right parties, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. The results are still being counted right now, but Sinn Féin won 24.5% of the first preference votes in the election, almost doubling its share from the last one in 2016. The main opposition party, Fianna Fáil, slipped to 22.2%, while the governing party, Fine Gael, slid to only 20.9%. Sinn Féin's leader, Mary Lou McDonald, described it as a ballot box quote-unquote revolution, and her preference was to form a government without either of the two formerly biggest parties, but that she will speak to the current Taoiseach, which is Prime Minister in Irish, and Fine Gael's leader, Leo Varadkar, and Fianna Fáil leader, Michael Martin. McDonald also said if she did become the Taoiseach, she would start preparing for a border poll to test support for a united Ireland. And to understand all of this, I talked to former BFM news teamer Conor Nell, who is of Irish descent.
What are the three parties like, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Sinn Féin?
So this election is looking to be a genuinely historic one for Ireland. Given the nation's journey over the last 100 years since independence, the country seems to be on the precipice of rejecting both of the post-revolutionary parties. But Ireland's weird. It doesn't have a distinct left-right division. Instead, the two parties are kind of centre-right. And that does require a tiny bit of a history lesson as to why that's the case. So the quickest way I can put it is Ireland had a civil war. Ireland had a war of independence between the old IRA, which is not to be confused with the Provisional IRA of the 70s, and the British forces, the British government. 1921, there was an attempt to end the conflict, and the British, led by Winston Churchill and David Lloyd George, drew up the Anglo-Irish Treaty. Now, as is the case with many treaties that the British have drawn up, this led to quite a bit of controversy.
Well, we're very, very familiar about that.
Indeed, in New Zealand, very familiar with that. And basically the treaty said that Ireland would be a self-governing dominion of the Crown.
So still, it will be like Canada then.
So like Canada or New Zealand or Australia in 1921, which would mean that politicians would still be, there'd be a governor general, the king would still be the king of Ireland, and politicians would have to pledge allegiance to the Crown upon taking office.
But what does that mean? Did that mean Ireland will be ruled from Dublin?
That meant Ireland would be self-governing. So it'd be ruled from Dublin, but it would still be in the British Empire and still under the Crown. So this split Sinn Féin, the old Sinn Féin, which is not to be confused with today's Sinn Féin. It split Sinn Féin into anti-treaty and pro-treaty, and Ireland had a civil war where brother turned on brother, neighbour turned on neighbour. After the war, there was peace, and anti-treaty became Fianna Fáil, and pro-treaty became Fine Gael. Now, that has meant generally Fianna Fáil has been more about rejecting Britain and going it alone and sort of carving their own path, whereas Fine Gael has been a bit more aligning with Britain, a bit more friendly towards Britain, and so that's where the division lay. We're now 100 years on from the Civil War, actually this year, these divisions, young people today don't really care who their great-grandfather fought with in the Civil War. It's interesting, but it doesn't have the same kind of visceral feeling among voters that it did, say, 50 years ago. So what we've seen now is a split away from the two parties. But before I get into that, I'll explain who the parties are today. Mm-hmm. So Fine Gael, which means men of the Gael in Irish, they currently rule. They elected the first gay Taoiseach and the first non-white Taoiseach. And I should explain, Taoiseach is the Irish word for Prime Minister.
Yep.
However, Leo Varadkar is very ideologically similar to John Key or David Cameron, right wing, very Tory, oversaw a government that saw rent increases in Dublin, massively increasing rents, a housing shortfall, wage stagnation, a hike in student fees, massive increase in the cost of living, campaigning this year on a strong and stable campaign, a la the Conservative Party in the UK.
In 2017.
They're doing exactly the same thing in 2019. Now, on the other side, you've got Fianna Fáil, whose leader is Micheál Martin. They ruled Ireland for most of the time since independence. They have an unfortunate reputation for corruption after they oversaw the massive crash in 2008, which hit Ireland bad. It was a massive housing crash. Troika had to be called in. The country was essentially audited under Fianna Fáil.
I remember it's kind of like stirred a crisis in Brussels as well, because Ireland become of the one of the Euro pigs, Portugal, Ireland, and Greece. And yeah, let's say it first started the whole Eurosceptic sentiment that we see today, but that's for another time.
Absolutely. And Ireland was very much at the centre of that. In Fianna Fáil, there was a massive amount of corruption around the construction industry. A lot of people had fingers within that industry, so they were building houses that no one could neither afford nor really, which just no one could afford. So there was a massive housing crisis, a huge amount of corruption around that, and that hit Ireland badly. Coupled to that is their traditionally close relationship with the church and conservative Catholicism. In years gone by, that's really hit them badly recently, as Ireland has kind of secularized and obviously allowing
same-sex marriage,
allowing abortion in, fewer people attending church. That line hasn't really worked as it has in the past, and this year they're trying to put forward a more centrist platform, probably more right wing to Labour, you know, Tony Blair, probably more right wing than Tony Blair and that sort of thing. It's a very centre-right, centrist sort of policy. Maybe more liberal democrat in that sense. Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil. Fianna Fáil actually means soldiers of destiny in Irish. That's where. So they were the Republican Party back in the day, anti-treaty. Now, Sinn Féin, who are not to be confused with the old Sinn Féin, that means ourselves alone in Irish, and that they're the very Republican Party. They are the former PR wing of the Provisional IRA. They were led by Gerry Adams, whose voice was actually banned from being heard on the BBC and RTE back in the day. Listeners may remember that from the 80s and 90s. Their current leaders are so unassociated from the Troubles. So Mary Lou McDonald was never in the IRA. Many of their TDs were never in the IRA. And TDs, by the way, is MPs in the Irish system. Chocked a dollar is what it means. They've kind of built a new post-Troubles image among young voters, people who were born in the 90s, people who were born in the 80s, who barely remember or just don't remember the Troubles at all. Sinn Féin just don't have that same resonance with them. Older voters are still put off by their uneasy and kind of unrepentant attitude to certain atrocities in Northern Ireland from the conflict, but they are running a centre-left platform and very nationalist. So United Ireland is at the top of the agenda. But they're also advocating building state housing, reducing tuition fees, rent controls, all stuff that's really drawing young voters towards them. And obviously there's other smaller parties in there. Particularly one of note is Solidarity People Before Profit, who are the Democratic Socialist Party. They're getting a lot of transferred votes from Sinn Féin voters. And so they are looking to actually double their vote in this election, I believe. So they're one to look out for in the future too, as a potential coalition partner. Now, these parties are in a three-way tie at the moment. 22% the vote between them all.
Just before the election, they're Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. They say they won't work with Sinn Féin. So, especially for Fine Gael, why Leo Varadkar doesn't want to work with Sinn Féin?
Well, it's interesting you said that, because Leo Varadkar would never work with Sinn Féin because they are right-wing Tories. It would be like Labour and National going into coalition with each other. It just couldn't happen. That's totally out of the question. Fianna Fáil, now Micheál Martin's kind of flip-flopped on this. Like yesterday, as you said, he was saying never going to coalition. Now today, he actually said he'd be open to the possibility of doing that. I think Sinn Féin, it seems likely that Sinn Féin are going to try and get a broad left coalition through the Green Party, through Labour, through Solidarity People for Profit, and through the Social Democrat Party to try and form a broad left coalition to essentially keep Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael out of Parliament, which will just boost their popularity in the future to no end. But the thing is with the voting system is that it's done through single transferable vote. It's a proportional voting system. It's actually the same system that New Zealand uses for the local elections, and arguably a much more democratic system, because instead of the party choosing list MPs, it's done by second preference and third preference. So the people choose the list, not the party. So what you're going to have to see, we're going to have to wait and see, is who transfers to who, you know, how that all kind of shakes out. And we're obviously in that really weird period where parties are deciding on who goes into coalition with whom. So, yeah, if Sinn Féin managed to pull that off, this is going to be historic. And this is going to be essentially Ireland breaking from that post-colonial situation they found themselves in, with who hates the Brits more or who likes the Brits, and towards a party that where that's becoming less of an issue. Obviously, Sinn Féin have made it very clear they're a nationalist party, but Irish voters saying, okay, that's there, but also we care about this whole slew of issues that neither other party are talking about.
And now we are touching on the on London as well. Could this sway Northern Ireland for a more reunified Ireland?
Well, now that's an interesting one, because Brexit hasn't actually been a major talking point in this election. Leo Varadkar's tried to make it one, because he's essentially trying to go out there to voters and say, look how well we did on keeping an open border. But people aren't really, the Irish electorate doesn't seem to be too swayed by that. They see it as a very British issue, not really of their concern. Northern Ireland, I think, there's a lot of discussion that needs to go on before that happens. And that's probably going to start in Northern Ireland itself, with parties like the SDLP, parties like People Before Profit, and also the more liberal members of Sinn Féin, particularly John Finucane, will be pushing that. In the South, they will be more dictated by what happens in Northern Ireland. Their position is, depending on what the Northern Irish people want, we'll support it. So, broadly speaking, people want a united Ireland. They're going to leave it up to the people of of Northern Ireland to decide what type of united Ireland they want.
But in case, just in case, if there is no successful coalition talks between Sinn Féin or, not Sinn Féin, but all the parties, it will be another election, I think. Will it be?
It's a hung parliament at the moment. I think if worst comes to worst, they'll go in with Fianna Fáil. But what they'll try to do is they'll try to get in probably coalition partners like Solidarity People for Profit and the Green Party, to as the people who most likely push back on Fianna Fáil when it comes to their more right-wing policies. Sinn Féin is in a very delicate position, because if they know that if they go into coalition with Fianna Fáil, there's the risk of selling out, like the Labour Party did with Fine Gael, like the Green Party have done in the past, like the Social Democrats and Progressive Democrats have done in the past. So they're very aware of that. So if they do go into that coalition, you'll see a lot of pushback from Sinn Féin on a lot of those more socially left issues, you know. I think their priority will be to try and get a broad left coalition, because if they do that, that will truly make them a third party in what's traditionally been a two-party system, if they can keep Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael totally out of the equation.
Could Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael maybe get back in 4 years, do you reckon?
Well, they've got a lot of trust to build up. And I think if they are kept out in the wilderness, it will give a lot of beer. it will require those parties to do a lot of soul searching. You've got to bear in mind there's a bit of a cabal in Irish politics, because a lot of people in Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are the grandsons or great-grandsons or great-granddaughters or granddaughters of revolutionaries. You take a politician, a TD like Éamon Ó Caoimh, who's a great-grandson of Éamon de Valera. You've got people who are related to Sean Lamass, people who are related to the Andrews family. You've got the Andrews family. You've got people who are related to Michael Collins. All these people who are in the rising or revolutionary people, their relatives are still in Fianna Fáil. So there's a bit of a cabal there in the Oireachtas, the Senate and the Dáil.
So the revolutionaries, so the kind of the revolution and. The early 20th century still plays a big part.
Massively, hugely. Ireland is still discussing that, and we're still kind of working through that, especially as the country still remains partitioned. And it's like any other post-colonial country. The post-revolutionary party has that legacy there. People kept voting on them, and obviously that turned into corruption. That's happened in a lot of post-colonial countries. So this moment is the Sinn Féin are trying to be that party that... breaks away from that and kind of diverges from that and says, no, we're past our post-colonial period. We're trying to move forward. We are our own nation. We're not going to be held back by these old families who are trading on a revolution that happened 100 years ago. We're going to set a new direction, and we're going to focus on the people of the country, not the people of the party.
We are seeing that in Sinn Féin as well, because looks like not a lot of young voters see Sinn Féin as the party of the IRA.
No, and that's interesting. And it's also going to make it interesting to see what happens if Sinn Féin do become the majority party in Parliament, how Anglo-Irish relations will play out after that, because you'll have TDs, certain TDs, certain TDs, a few of them do have links to the IRA and were passed in there. Not all of them, but a minority of them. And so knowing Sinn Féin's tradition, especially their relations with the British government in Northern Ireland, they're going to probably take a more adversarial sort of approach to Britain, especially in this post-Brexit climate. So expect Ireland to kind of try and throw its weight around with the EU behind them, where if Sinn Féin get into government, if Fianna Fáil get into government, you'll probably see more of the same as to what's happened under Leo Varadkar. Trying to be friends, but obviously with the UK not really reciprocating that, as we've seen under Leo's term. Yeah.
New time for Ireland.
So very, very interesting. We'll see what happens, who forms what government, but watch that space, New Zealand, and see what happens with the now only English-speaking country in the European Union.
No, Malta. There's still Malta.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, Malta speaks English.
Oh, of course they do, don't they? The largest English-speaking country in the European Union.
We might even see Scotland in a couple of years.
Indeed, and yes, and possibly an Irish referendum in the next few decades as well, but we'll watch that space too.
New time for Europe.
Absolutely.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.